The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined here in the studio today by Shaka Hyssop. Lots to get through on today's programme. Later on, Jurgen Klinsmann and Matteo Bonetti will be here to reflect on Inter Milan defeating Lazio and going top of the table, plus Ali discussing an impressive win for Real Madrid against Valencia. We'll start, though, in the Premier League, where Manchester United could only manage a 1-1 draw away against West Brom. Let's welcome Stevie Nicol in to discuss this. Stevie, a lot of incidents I want to talk to you about in a moment, but first, the game overall. Why couldn't United get it done? Why couldn't they find that extra gear today?
Oh, because they couldn't create a clear chance. When you play against West Brom, you know there are going to be bodies behind the ball. You know there's going to be bodies in the box. And generally, you're up against a goalkeeper who's going to make some saves. And that's pretty much it. You know, the United had all the possession, although West Brom actually carved out the best chance of the game and missed it. So it was tough for United. I said from Johnston onto the post from a late header. One off the line from Johnston again. But other than that, they just couldn't break down a dogged, no surprise, West Brom defence. And at the end, because of the couple of chances that West Brom created, they probably just about deserved the point.
Manchester United hitting the post late on. A couple of big calls in this game, Stevie. Let's start, shall we, with the West Brom goal. United fans felt it was a foul. What do you think?
Oh, it's a foul. I think it's a foul all day. I mean, listen, in the 80s when I played, it was that was more than accepted. But unfortunately today, when you're crawling all over the back of your opponent, which was Lindelof, you've got your glove in his face that he can't even see the ball. I mean, it's just a foul all day long. And I was shocked that when it went to VAR, I thought it's a guarantee to be not given, but it was given.
Shaka?
Couldn't believe it.
I don't think it's a foul. I think both players aren't in position. I think Lindelof is still tussling with his man and trying to get in front. And Dernier is physical, but I thought play on.
Stevie?
Shaka, he's behind him. He's actually behind him with one hand on one arm and his other hand round his face because his glove, you can't see Lindelof's face for his glove.
Well, that's when
I don't understand how you can think that's okay.
No, accept it. That's when he heads the ball. But I just think that Lindelof is out of position and both men are jostling for position. If Lindelof is there and waiting on the header, that's one thing. But I don't think he was. I think he's still trying to find his own feet, his own positioning, and then it becomes a tussle. And I have no problem with a tussle.
But you've no problem with a tussle when the defender's in front of the forward and the forward grabs him by the shoulder and sticks his hand in his face. I don't see how that's okay, Shaq. I'm not having that.
I have no problem with a tussle when the defender isn't in position.
Oh, with Steve in his pro-Manchester United ways. Let's move it on, shall we, to another call the United fans weren't happy about. This in the second half. Penalty awarded initially. Before we get to the offside scenario, Stevie, let's talk about the actual foul. Is there a foul here?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Is it a G? He actually has his left hand on Harry Maguire's shoulder. So he's actually, you can clearly see from the camera, he's got his arm on his shoulder and he gives him a tug. So penalty all day long. And it's a foul all day long, as far as that particular part of this is concerned.
Shaka?
Foul.
Foul for you.
Yeah,
okay.
By the way,
right, so
he actually gets his legs tangled up with Maguire as well. And as I always tell you, as a defender, it's your responsibility not to get your legs tangled up with the opposition.
I'm sure, like most people watching this game, once we saw that he was offside, you thought, oh, that's it. They'll just say offside and get on with it. However, Law 11, what a beautiful, wonderful, unnecessary law this is. A player in an offside position is moving towards the ball with the intention of playing the ball and is fouled before playing or attempting to play the ball or challenging an opponent for the ball. The foul is penalised as it has occurred before the offside offence. So, if Maguire goes in, scores the goal, he's offside. However, because he doesn't touch the ball or make a clear attempt to play the ball and is fouled before, therefore he can't be offside because they are penalising the penalty before the offside.
Something like that, yeah. Listen, it doesn't make any kind of sense to me either.
Why did they put this law in? In
layman's terms,
it's a smokescreen.
In layman's terms, you only become offside when you play the ball, which I find to be absolutely ridiculous. Which is why you can see that players can now be given offside in their own half. That for me is ridiculous. I find that a poor interpretation of the law or what the game wants it to be,
yeah.
or it should be. I can't speak to the language.
But isn't Maguire attempting to play the ball from the moment he makes that run?
Exactly. Maguire starts an offside, and we from our angle, and we're using the edge of the 18-yard box.
Oh, he's offside.
Right,
there's
right.
No doubt. Let's not even.
Let's just right from naked eye, given what we have, he's offside.
It's a big line there.
I'm just saying. Right, he definitely looks offside. That's the most important thing, because if he doesn't start from that offside position,
yeah.
Then he doesn't gain an advantage, and the defender isn't forced into that kind of an action. So the offside precedes everything for me, or at least the offside position precedes everything.
Stevie, you like this law.
The best you know, the best thing is that somebody actually sent that thinking it would clear things up. How good is that?
But it was, of course, then the referee who went to the monitor and decided to overturn his own decision. And in the end, the penalty not awarded. Manchester United yeah. with that 1-1 draw against West Brom. Steve, I'm just intrigued with Solskjaer's rhetoric. And we actually heard this from Frank Lampard as well back in December, saying, you know, they're not really title contenders. That's not their priority. It's on improving on last season, which seems quite a strange thing to say, doesn't it, if you're a club like Manchester United?
Yeah, I saw his interview after this game, and it was almost like it was his first interview ever, because he didn't know what to say. He was stuttering over his words, and then he comes out with things like it was the strangest ever, and I don't care. I'm actually surprised that even Klopp says it's done and dusted. You know, you don't have to say it's over. All you can say is, it's going to be tough, but we're going to give everything till the very end. That's all you have to say. You don't come out with all that. If I'm a Man United fan, I don't want to hear that. So, as I said, his whole interview I thought was absolute gobbledygook. So that just kind of put the top hat on it.
Manchester United, Shaq, eh? You know, coming out and saying this for a club of that stature, and I understand perspective, and I understand what you've done in the past, and I understand how low the bar has been set over recent years, but yet still, you still want your manager to come out and fighting, don't you?
Of course you do. And I think this is a moment, as much as we may criticise managers for making bland, generic, cliched statements, this is a moment that called for exactly that from both Solskjaer and, as Stevie points out, Jurgen Klopp. You just come out and say something like, we're going to fight for every single point and see what happens. And that's enough. That's all your fans want to hear. That you are going
to... But then fans will say, we want honesty, and at least Klopp was honest with us. At least he's accepting it.
The Liverpool fans want to know that you're going to step on the field and you're going to play for 3 points every single time. And whatever happens, as long as you do that, that's your focus. And what City does is their business. That's what Liverpool fans want to hear. It's us sitting in studios like this who are then critical and say, well, no, that's never going to happen. But we aren't your target audience. We aren't your priority. You want to assure your fans that regardless of injury problems with Liverpool or what your position may be with Manchester United, that every single time we step on the field, we're going to play to win. And if somebody does us a favour against City, we're going to take that as well.
Last word on this to you, Stevie.
Yeah, I don't want to hear it. I think Shaka's 100%. Fans are not stupid. They're the ones that are half sensible can work out that probably it is over. They don't need it rammed down their throat, and they don't need it rammed down their throat by the guy that they follow. So, yeah, I'm with Shaka.
Meanwhile, Steve, we've been critical of Aubameyang over the last few weeks, obviously out because of the illness to his mother, but preceding that, nowhere near the sort of form that he put in last season. Back to his best today with a hat-trick.
I don't want to be too clever and say that I bet you Aubameyang wishes he plays against Leeds every weekend, because it was that easy. I mean, for an hour, Leeds didn't turn up. You know, the Arsenal side that was put out was a team that absolutely was all about passing the ball. You know, Aubameyang and Smith Rowe. I mean, Saka was fantastic today. Ceballos started. So they were just going to try and play Leeds off the park. And a combination of good football from Arsenal and some woeful performances from Leeds United. You know, this Leeds United side, everybody talks about their fitness, and that's, you know, the way they go forward at pace and the way they harry you and run you down is all about how fit they are, and then, of course, they gamble. Well, they weren't doing that in the defensive side of the game, and the way they play, they give the ball away too much, and so Arsenal just completely took control. Scored four goals, probably should have had a penalty, in my opinion. Cooper brought Saka down, and the game should have been done and dusted. But after an hour, they gave Arsenal an awful shock. I'll tell you what, it took Arteta to bring on two defenders and take off two attackers at 4-2. And they should have had a penalty again, in my opinion, because I'll tell you what, Bamford was taken out by Cedric, and that would have made it 4-3. So at one point, it was an absolute cakewalk. And then at another point, it looked as though Arsenal could be in a little bit of trouble. But they got through it. But as I said, Aubameyang won't play against Leeds United every week.
The Premier League action continues on Monday. Chelsea taking on Newcastle. Chelsea with a great opportunity to move themselves up the table. Huge favourites as well, 9-2 on. Newcastle, meanwhile, go to Stamford Bridge as 11-1 outsiders. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Huge win for Inter on Sunday, defeating Lazio by 3-1. It is a victory after AC Milan lost on Saturday against Spezia, which puts Inter now top of the table, 1 point clear of their City rivals. Let's welcome in, shall we, Jurgen Klinsmann and Matteo Bonetti to the show. Jurgen, Inter weren't at their best today, but in the end, Romelu Lukaku very much the difference.
Yeah, Lukaku was the difference with Lautaro. I mean, obviously they combined now, I think, for 27 goals this season. That's an outstanding number. But as we discussed at halftime, you know, Lazio needed to do a little bit more even in order to get back to that into that game, and they came then with that free kick. So they were back, and it was all still to play. But then they ran the risk, obviously, to get into a counter break from Inter, and what Lukaku is just doing it on his best is, you know, he passes people like a bullet train almost and goes through and gives the assist and over to Lautaro and finishes off the game. You know, obviously it's a great win for Inter. It's a very, very crucial win. Super important to pass AC Milan on the top of the table now, just 1 week before the big, big derby next Sunday. I feel a little bit bad about Lazio because they played a very good game. But at the end, they were not determined or decisive enough in the box. They didn't create enough chances. They played really, really well until they got to the box, and then that was it. You know, they didn't really create many chances and could put them into trouble in the second half, especially. And therefore, you know, it was a huge 3 points for Inter. And this week, probably in Milan, there will be a lot of emotions going up and down between the two fan groups of both teams. It will be a great week in Milan.
The timing of that third goal, Matteo, so significant. Lazio getting it back, and you just felt that the momentum was swinging towards the visitors. But then that key breakaway led by Lukaku.
Yeah, because even at the halftime, we were saying that the 2-0 didn't really mirror what we actually saw, which was a very even game. And Lazio, as Jurgen said, played pretty well throughout the game in terms of possession, getting into the final third. But Lukaku's IQ and even that run that he had where he saw that there was a mid-30s central midfielder masquerading as a center back in front of him. So, of course, he's going to just nudge the ball past him. And Parolo, the player he beat, he wasn't fast when he was 25. He's certainly not fast now in his mid-30s. And this is what Lukaku does. He terrorizes center backs or midfielders. Whoever's in front of him, he knows he can just push the ball forward. He can get by them with physicality. And he can play the final ball, which, again, I can't believe that this was the criticism of Lukaku. Given how well he's combined for the last two seasons, we now have a big extended time period that we can safely say this guy knows how to play in link-up. He knows how to do it with Lautaro. He sets him up with a brilliant assist, creates the run on his own. He's so dynamic. He's so dangerous. And honestly, Dan, in so many games, Lukaku looks absolutely unstoppable. There's just nothing you can do to combat all the things he does so well.
Jurgen, there'll be some people, English people in particular, who'll be saying, yeah, these are great numbers, but he couldn't cut it in the Premier League with Manchester United.
Well, I mean, obviously he was still very young at Man U, but also you need to be, you need to fit into a specific club, but you need to fit into a specific team. And sometimes it works out really well and sometimes it doesn't. You know, you need to have a great relationship with your manager, with the entire environment. And maybe now, you know, he's far more matured. You know, he's happy there in Milano. The people treat him very, very well. So he feels pretty much at home, and you can see that in his body language. You know, even if he, you know, does a mistake, he looks up right away. He looks at his teammate, you know, and he apologizes, you know, if he missed a pass or something. You can see that he feels being really part of that group, of that environment at Inter right now. And obviously they can make something very special happening this season, meaning winning the Scudetto. And it's, it's fun to watch him.
How highly do you rate him overall as a striker, Jurgen? Is he one of the best in the world?
Yeah, right now, definitely in the top five in the world. I think, you know, he has one, his very particular style. You know, he's not that smooth or that elegant as Robert Lewandowski, for example, or Ibrahimovic has a different style to it. But he has his strengths, you know, and he plays them to his best, you know, meaning is his speed, like in the third goal that he did the assist to Lautaro. It's his willingness to work hard for the teammates, as also coming back defensively and cleans things up. You know, he's a great teammate. So I think, you know, he can be very, very proud of himself so far this season. And if he continues like that, I mean, we're only 22 games into the season. You know, if he adds another, let's say, 10 goals to in the last... What do we have then? 16 games left for him. That would be outstanding.
Look at that quick maths from Jurgen. I'll get some quick maths from you then. Now, Matteo, what percentage chance of Inter of winning the title?
Oh, I want to give it 70%.
I think they're the favorites.
Milan, I mean, they go into the Derby della Madonnina as the favorites. They can extend their lead +4 over second place. And I just find that it's going to be difficult to catch them. We've been saying now, this isn't just reactionary. We're looking at the table now and they're top of the table. No, we've been saying this now on ESPN FC, a few of us, that Inter are the favorites, despite them not being first for, I believe, the entire season. So this does not come as a shock. You look at the team they had. You look at what they can produce when they're at their best. and the fact that they're in this position, despite receiving loads of criticism throughout the season, despite them not really playing at their best consistently and having some areas where you think, okay, they're a little bit maligned there. And now you think, right, it might all come together in the second half of the season, and pretty healthy squad, they're the favorites.
70%, Jürgen, do you agree with Matteo?
I would say 80.
Oh, of course you would. What a stupid question, Dan.
Jürgen.
No, because
former Inter striker, Jürgen Klinsmann.
I think, no, Matteo is absolutely right. And I mean, the way it works out so far for Inter, obviously not being in the European Cup competition anymore, not being in the Coppa Italia, gives all the energy is there now for winning the Scudetto. And what I really enjoyed today was how they celebrated the third goal by Lautaro. It was a whole group basically hugging, celebrating there on the sideline. And that meant the world to them. So they're determined. They're really determined this year now to make it happen, to win at least this title, which is obviously a huge title to win the Scudetto. And to finally kind of put Juventus a little bit in their place because they've won too many titles in a row now. So I think it's going to be their year. I have no doubt about it.
AC Milan, who lost yesterday against Spezia, Matteo, what went wrong?
Everything went wrong. It was the worst performance of the season from Milan, given the opposition, who, by the way, has been very good in their own right. But I found it interesting, Stefano Pioli came out after the game and said, if you looked at us during training leading up to the game, you would have thought that we would have absolutely played one of our best performances. Everyone was crisp, everyone was sharp. Milan are getting some of their most important players back from long-term injuries. And it's almost like they forgot how to play with a full starting 11 because they've been so decimated in the last few months. But Spezia was running riot then. I mean, they were controlling possession. They were limiting any sort of possession or fluidity from Milan when they try to build up. It was so lackluster, and it was like Milan looked like the team that we saw from 2014 to 2019, the team that was essentially mid-table, that would squander points against all the bottom half of the table teams in the league. And it had nothing of the sort of identity and character and battling through adversity that we've seen from Milan since early 2020. So it was a shocking result, one of the most shocking results of the season. But then again, I mean, this is a Spezia side, Dan, that is really doing this to some of the best teams in Serie A. They're incredible what they've been able to do on a shoestring budget, but there's no excuses for Milan. You had a great chance with Juventus dropping points and Inter having a tough match against Lazio to further your lead at the top of the table, and you go and drop points against Spezia. It's okay to drop points against Atalanta and Juventus, but Spezia, a team that just came up from Serie B for the first time and that has a lot of players that have never even played top flight football, it was absolutely shocking.
Jürgen, just picking up on that point, I imagine your coaching days, you must have had similar scenarios. Everything's going great in training. You go into this match full of confidence, thinking that everybody is on form, and then it all plays out, just 90 minutes of a disaster. How does that, what's that like from a coach's perspective?
It drives you nuts if you're the coach in that moment. But it's just that it proves that you're not a robot. You're not kind of going every time 200 miles an hour, and not every time things work out perfectly. It's you're just a human and as well. And when they go, a team like AC Milan being on top of the league right now, when they go to Spezia, and they feel confident, they feel good, they have good training sessions, they're in the flow. The key of every game is the first 10-15 minutes where you have to accept the physicality of the game. You have to be ready for every one-on-one battle first before you actually find then your playing rhythm, you know. And that sometimes it's the wrong feeling that you carry into a game, and it punishes you then. You get punished because once you are kind of running after yourself, you know, in terms of finding the rhythm, and you don't get it because the other team, they are just on you. They are feisty. They go for every challenge there. Then it's difficult, and then these results happen, you know. And it's something that can always happen to you. But it's like Stefano Pioli said it rightfully. So you know, it kind of went exactly the opposite direction of what they thought would happen. So those are the points. When you lose those points, they really make you really mad.
And that's the thing, Matteo. What has defined Milan so far this season is that they have beaten the teams that they should have beaten. That has put them in this position. So the question, I suppose, after yesterday is this an anomaly or is this a sign of things to come?
I think it's an anomaly because the sign of things to come would have been really in the last 2-3 months when they were without half their starting 11, when Zlatan Ibrahimovic missed basically half the games. Remember, Zlatan Ibrahimovic is a huge reason why Milan suddenly feel like they have this willingness to battle through adversity. You know, he's so intimidating on the pitch. He's constantly staring down his teammates. So you would have thought that the bad period for the club would have come in December and January, but not now. Now that you have Hakan Çalhanoğlu back, who played a very poor game, even though he was one of the most important players. Ismail Benacer, who's been really struggling with so many different injuries, who, when he's fit, he's one of the best deep-lying playmakers in the league. And, of course, Zlatan Ibrahimovic up front and your best defensive unit. They'd had to play fullbacks in the past as centre-backs. So it's just so strange that it happens now with a full squad. So because of that, Dan, I feel like this is just an anomaly because it's not like this is a blip where Milan have only done well for the last month and it was just a period of good form. They've been doing well since January 2020, so I don't think that this is anything more than just an anomaly, and I feel like they'll get back on track because they've shown us that they have the willingness to really battle when things are tough, which they didn't have, by the way, for that six-year stretch when they couldn't even qualify for the Europa League.
As Matteo mentioned, more frustrating for Milan, not only losing to Spezia, but off the back of Juventus losing as well. Just a reminder, just the one goal in this game, and it would come via a penalty, not initially given. But here, Shaka, Chiellini with the foul. Are you happy with this decision?
I find it a tough one. Listen,
what, punching someone in the face?
But I feel defenders use that trailing arm just to kind of feel where the striker is. He does get it slightly wrong, but... I'm old school. That's a defender trying to feel where the striker is. I'm old school, Dan.
Why you have to feel where he is?
What do you mean, why you have to feel where that is? That's what defenders do.
But you can't poke someone in the eye when you're doing it.
You're not intending to poke anybody in the eye.
But you do.
I think that's a flailing arm that defenders often use to feel where strikers are. I'm sticking with that.
I'm going to my striker. Jürgen, a penalty in your view?
Yeah, clear penalty.
Yes.
Right decision.
Well, he's a striker. What do we expect? Jürgen's a striker. He thinks everything's a penalty.
Matteo, what's been the reaction in Turin to that decision?
Oh, not great. Some of former ex-players have come out saying that's never a penalty. Andrea Pirlo had a press conference where he said that there are some decisions that people will criticize because it's Juventus, basically saying that because Juventus is Juventus, that there's some calls that they may not get. It hasn't been pretty, and it's been frustrating as well because they had a golden opportunity to close the gap with first place. I'm not sure why there is this criticism, given that Romani, the player, nearly got his eye poked out, and whether it was intentional or not, you can't smash someone's face inside the box, especially when there's VAR that's going to look at that and see there's clear contact on the player's face. So maybe in the old school days in the 60s when Shaka played, that would never have been given as a penalty. But now, I mean, we've seen that given time and time again, even though you feel a little bit for Giorgio Chiellini because that's his style, right? He's rough and rugged. He's all limbs. He's always making the striker, whoever he's marking, feel his presence there. But it's not gone down well. And there's been a lot of people in the Juventus camp who seemingly think that isn't a penalty.
Aside from Shaka's dodgy penalty, Matteo, why did it take Juve 80 minutes to get going in this game?
Yeah, it was a weird one, Dan. Napoli really didn't create much of anything. Juventus, it's not even like they played that well, but they created the best chances. They had 24 shots compared to 8. They had 16 on target. They tested Meret, the Napoli goalkeeper, from point-blank range, and this comes down to a game where they were just unlucky. I mean, you look back at the chances. Cristiano Ronaldo, at the edge of the six-yard box on a volley, he has put that in 1,000 times out of 1,000, except that time. Then you had another great chance from Alvaro Morata near the edge of the six, and he shoots it straight at Meret. So they had 3 golden opportunities, all from well inside the box, just a meter away from the goalkeeper, and they all shot it straight at the goalkeeper. So, I mean, it's one of those where the ball just didn't go the right way. You know, you can analyze and say, ah, but it was this and this. No, those chances Cristiano Ronaldo has always put away in his career. There's nothing else really to say about it. Now, in the terms of the actual starting 11, some big question marks, Dan, about the inclusion of Federico Bernardeschi, who has been really poor now in the last few seasons. And when he's in there, it's like he's playing a game of hot potato where he's so out of confidence and out of form that he doesn't even want the ball. The ball comes to him and he's saying, you know what, I'm not even going to try any of the things that made me a Juventus signing to begin with. I'm not going to try taking on anyone. I'm just going to do a back pass. And you had Weston McKennie sitting on the bench, who's been so influential for midfield. You had Dejan Kulusevski as well, who surely would have given you a little bit more life. So there was a few puzzling choices, I'd say, in the starting 11. And another thing is, only two central midfielders. I think the revival of Juve this season has come because of Weston McKennie. More balance in the midfield. Another central midfielder in there to run and win balls back.
Jürgen Mateo, thank you very much. For a lot more on what happened in Serie A this weekend, be sure to download the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast, which drops on Monday. No Gab, Stuart Robson presenting with Jules.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So Real Madrid taking all 3 points with a 2-0 win, and it keeps them in touching distance with Atleti. Let's not forget they beat Granada yesterday by 2-1. Meanwhile, Lionel Messi put on a masterclass as Barca beat Alaves. Let's welcome in Ali Moreno. Ali, as we were discussing with Stevie regarding Aubameyang wanting to play Leeds every weekend, Real Madrid would love to play Valencia every weekend.
Yes, sir. And certainly this version of Valencia that is non-competitive. Somebody must tell Valencia, hey guys, we're out here playing. Because they did not even run around. They did not challenge Real Madrid in any way, shape, or form. However, I would also say that Real Madrid were very good, in particular the three in the middle, Casemiro, Toni Kroos, and Luka Modric. Luka Modric, after the 2018 World Cup, there was a question as to whether it was too much for him, whether he ever got over the 2018 season and that year and how long it was and physically taxing. And we haven't really seen the best of him over the last couple of seasons. Well, he's back to near his best. This guy is moving this midfield. This midfield three dominated the game today. And if they play like this, then Real Madrid are a dangerous team. Now, they have some difficulties defensively. They have some difficulties creating chances. But the midfield three dominated the game today. And Luka Modric was outstanding.
Yeah, nice win for Real Madrid. Meanwhile, for Barcelona, their focus turns to PSG. And interesting stuff from Miralem Pjanic, who you may even forget is a Barcelona player. But he is these days after making that switch from Juve, saying, I don't have the exact reasons as to why I'm not getting the playing time. I have to respect the decision of the coach, although I don't agree. Oh, this can only end well, Ali.
Well, see, Miralem, see, I know you're listening. I know you're watching. So I'm going to give you the reasons. Since Ronald Koeman is not giving you the reasons, I'm going to give you the reasons. You haven't been very good. In fact, at times you've been terrible. And at times, you've been a player that has been leaned upon whenever Sergio Busquets wasn't playing very well to be the answer, and you haven't been the answer. Your service hasn't been good. Your set pieces haven't been good. You haven't really done anything defensively and offensively. You're not a guy that really threatens in the final third. So therefore, let me tell you, the guys around you, Frenkie de Jong has been better. Sergio Busquets has been better as of late. Pedri has been better. Ricky Puig has been better. That's why you're comfortably sitting on the bench and you're not coming off the bench anytime soon.
Get off the fence, Ali. Thank you very much. Barcelona, of course, in action against PSG this week in the first leg on Tuesday of the Champions League. What a tie that should be. Barcelona, slight favourites to go through. Remember, Neymar is out. We'll be discussing that in a lot more detail on the next edition of the show.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Eintracht Frankfurt continued their fine run in the Bundesliga. A win on Sunday put them third in the table. Meanwhile, Wolfsburg could only manage a 0-0 draw, leaving them in fourth. Jürgen, you take a look at Borussia Dortmund. 6 points, considering their form of late, is a massive deficit to try and close.
Yeah, it is a huge challenge the upcoming weeks for Borussia Dortmund, because obviously the most important goal for this club is to play Champions League every year. It's a must to do for Borussia Dortmund, and being now 6 points behind the Champions League spot gets you really nervous. I mean, they have the squad that is talented enough, good enough to be in the top four, even to challenging the title. But for whatever reason, this year it didn't work out at all. You know, they changed the coach at a specific time, and they cannot find a way to win their games, to get the 3-pointers week in, week out. So this is a very crucial moment. It's a very crucial moment, not only in the Bundesliga, but it's also a crucial moment leading into the next Champions League knockout game with Sevilla. So the next few weeks for Borussia Dortmund will be very, very important ones.
Yeah, that game against Sevilla is on Wednesday. And according to the bookmakers, Dortmund a comfortable favourite. Sevilla coming in at even money. Jürgen, this is a massive challenge for Dortmund. Sevilla flying in La Liga, looking good at the moment. A real test over two legs.
Yeah, it's a real test also about the character of the so-called leaders at Borussia Dortmund, the experienced players like Mats Hummels or Marco Reus. You know, are they capable to guide their young, fairly young team, you know, through that process now, through that extremely important couple of weeks? And Sevilla is doing well, has a very good squad. So for me, they're not the favorite in that game.
Wow. Meanwhile, who would have thought we'd been talking about Leipzig and Liverpool in such a critical way going in to their clash? The bookies say Liverpool comfortable 5-2 on, Leipzig 7-4. But we all know what has been happening to Jurgen Klopp's side leading into this. Meanwhile, for Leipzig, looking good in the Bundesliga, of course, second. Again, Jurgen, this is a tie you could feel could go either way on Tuesday.
Yeah, I really think so. It could go either way. I think, you know, both teams obviously full of quality, full of excitement. And both, they have a similar style of play. I mean, obviously, we know Jürgen Klopp with his, fast-paced football. I call it 200 miles per hour football. But Julian Nagelsmann at Leipzig is doing a tremendous good job. And it's also a team that is capable to play high-pressure football, to be always on top of things. And I think this will be a very, very interesting two games to watch. And it is 50-50 who goes through.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who's been on, of course, on the day that Inter Milan go top of Serie A and Manchester City continue, it seems, to run away with the Premier League. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Extra Time is next. Shaka, Ali and Stevie answering your questions. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Interestingly enough, Shaka, I have two pages of questions. One says use this one, which makes me think this one may have a naughty question in that has been censored.
We get naughty questions?
Well, we get a lot of naughty things, Shaka. Mostly abuse towards you and Stevie and Ali, to be fair, but there we are. Happy Valentine's, everybody, by the way.
That's not naughty at all.
You're off to the gas station to pick up some flowers on the way home.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know where you're going to get flowers at this time of night on Valentine's.
There are many a florist open. Sunday night florists, they're open.
Now, when it comes to romance, I think Ali Moreno more than Stevie Nicol.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Ali, what have you done for Mrs. Moreno? Yeah. Ali brings out all the studs.
Oh, what's about to be done after I'm done with you here? We're going to have a candlelight dinner here at home, served by our children. It will be a nice romantic evening for the Moreno family.
I wish we could have shown Stevie's reaction to that. Stevie, can you just pull the face that you were crying? Ali was describing. Is this similar thing not happening in the Nicol household, Stevie?
Hold on. Is my dinner ready yet?
By the way, he will regret that.
Really?
Oh, stop shutting off. I wasn't talking to you.
Dad made me do it.
Yes, exactly.
Dad made me.
Okay. Stevie, was there ever a teammate that became as influential to the team out of nowhere like Gundogan has?
Actually, I had a player who did that, a guy called Jeff Laurentowicz when I was at the Revs. A guy who spent, what, 2.5 seasons just as a squad player, a backup player. All of a sudden, he had to play in the middle of the park, and within a fortnight, he became a fixture. That's the one, as soon as you ask me that question, that stands out. As far as the Premier League, I would have to say no. I mean, you talk about timing. Not that we didn't know this guy was good. He just kind of disappeared for a little spell, but my goodness, he hasn't made a splash now. He's fantastic.
Stevie, on that point, Laurentowicz in training, would he not impress? Would you think that he couldn't make the step up? What was it about it that you thought, well, maybe he can't take it, and then he obviously proved you completely wrong?
It's 100% having belief in what you can do.
Right.
And he's the best example of that. A guy who would do his work and was okay and was part of the squad, who just all of a sudden took things on his shoulders. Came on as a sub, actually. What happened was we were getting beat 3-0 at half-time away at Dallas, and we said, right, you know what, we're just going to shut the midfield down. Stuck him in the middle of the park. And he was fantastic. And we thought, hold on a second. Because he tried right back, we tried him at centre back. But as I said, within a fortnight, he was turning up in training and playing exactly the way he did at Dallas, and actually did it for another, 8 or 9 years in the in MLS.
Ali, if Harry Kane played for Bayern, would he get as many goals as Lewandowski?
No, I don't think so. Lewandowski, I think, is a better out-and-out striker than Harry Kane. And Harry Kane has taken it upon himself at times to drop off from the front line a little bit. So I think there's variety to Harry Kane's game, but I think Lewandowski is more of a, look, my game is defined by goals, and whatever I do is about goals, and that's all I think about. I think Lewandowski still will score more goals with Bayern Munich than Harry Kane.
Steven?
Would Lewandowski score more goals with Tottenham Hotspur than Harry Kane? You definitely can't answer that first question by saying, well, yes, he would score more goals. I'll tell you what, he would score an absolute barrel load of goals if he played for Bayern Munich. The question is, would Lewandowski score as many or be as influential for Tottenham? That's the other question.
All right, you just ask your own questions then, Stevie. Ask your own questions. Don't worry about it.
Well,
don't worry about
people
taking the time to send in a question. You ask your own question.
Well, Okay, I think not. I don't think Lewandowski would have as big an influence on Tottenham as Harry does. And I can't turn around and say he would score more goals, but my goodness, he would get a heartload of goals at Bayern Munich. The way they play against the way Tottenham play, no question.
I've lost track of what the question is.
Well, answer. You can make up your own question if you like.
Stevie,
apparently, I could just answer whatever question I want. I'll answer the question that was asked.
It's perfectly clear in my head. I know that.
I don't think Harry Kane scores more goals at Bayern Munich than Robert Lewandowski.
Liverpool-Leipzig. Who's the favourite, Stevie?
Do you know, I was listening to the show, Dan, and the bookies have got Liverpool as favourites.
Huge favourites.
How is that possible? They can't win a game to save their life, hardly. Leipzig are, what, four in the trot they've won?
Mm-hmm.
They've only lost a goal. Liverpool have lost eight goals in, what, three games? I mean, I don't understand the bookies at all. I just don't see how Liverpool can be favourites right now.
Ali?
Leipzig!
Yeah, that's my answer.
Shaka?
I'm going to go Liverpool then.
Yeah, to be different.
Well, yeah.
Wait, why? Why?
I just feel... I don't feel Leipzig are that good going forward. I watched them against Augsburg on Saturday and I just felt they look... I just felt they look a little bit lightweight.
You didn't even know what day they were playing.
One day at some point.
Shaka.
Yeah.
They've scored eight goals in the last three games.
I watch them on Friday, then I watch them over again yesterday. That's what I did. I watched them twice. And that was my impression.
They can't defend either. Because they've lost a whole one goal in the last three games as well. And Liverpool's lost eight.
Saka did not watch this
I'll watch him again today, Stevie. I'll watch him again today.
How about tomorrow.
That?
And tomorrow.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Ali, can Barcelona beat PSG or will this be another disappointing year for Barca?
I think they can beat PSG. Have you seen PSG play lately?
Mm-hmm.
They're not all that great. They're not all that convincing. It's not a team that is actually flying. In fact, they're second in Ligue 1, and how many times we talk about Ligue 1 as it is some sort of non-competitive league. PSG have not been very good, and I think Barcelona is in the upswing. They have been much better than what they have been over the last couple of months, and I think you're getting the best out of Lionel Messi right now. You're getting the best out of Frenkie de Jong. Dembele has been better, Ricky Puig, Pedri, Jordi Alba. Barcelona are dangerous. They're not going to win the whole thing because they're not that good. They have flaws themselves, but I do think that they have a chance against PSG, no doubt about it.
Ali, are we all in agreement that Manchester City against Bayern Munich is the final we'd most like to see contested in the Champions League?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Certainly the way that Manchester City is playing right now, and if you assume that at some point, in some time in their lives, they're going to get Kevin De Bruyne back and Sergio Aguero back, and what all that means for Manchester City and potentially what the best version of Manchester City looks like, yeah, that would be it. Manchester City, Bayern Munich, no question about it. Some of the other teams, you can make all sorts of arguments against them, but there's no argument to be made against Bayern Munich nor Manchester City at this point.
This is a good question, and one name springs to mind straight away, Shaq. I'm intrigued to see if it's the same one. Shaq, if you were to create a wall to defend a free kick from just outside the box using the ex-players from ESPN FC, who would you have laying on the floor?
Who would I have? I would put Craig on the floor,
and then he would.
Because that would just be so much fun, listening to Craig complain about being on the
floor. There's no way he would even do it.
It'd be so good.
Everyone who comes on the show, Don, I imagine, would be the one who would lay down. Without as many problems as anybody else.
Yeah, Dom would.
Dom just does his own.
As long as he gets
you
to
plug somebody. You gotta choose Gab. Are you kidding me? Gab is your guy.
No, ex-player.
Gab is your guy.
Ex-players. Nobody has ever accused Gab of being an ex-player. Ever.
Well, by the way, Gab's not jumping anywhere. So you don't need any line behind him.
I want Gab as my wall. I want Gab as my whole wall.
Stevie, in your Liverpool days, who would be the one who would do that role?
Whoever was told to do it.
Would it be you? Would it be you, Stevie? Would you be okay doing it?
Whoever was told to do it.
Yeah?
Aye.
You wouldn't mind doing it?
Of course you are. Why wouldn't you be?
because you look.
Why
like,
wouldn't you be?
You look a bit foolish lying down there. Ruben Dias dragging you about everywhere.
Well, if you've looked as foolish as many times as me, it wouldn't bother you, would it? Actually, you just reminded me. You actually reminded me, Paul and I, when we had the All-Star team, we're an MLS. We set a wall up the day before the game. And we told Beckham for a laugh that he was to charge the ball. Now, normally what you do is you get your biggest, squarest head, meathead, to charge the ball. So we went to see everybody's face and we said, oh, by the way, David, we want you to charge the ball. And everybody just went like that. Whoa. And then we just started laughing. Then we called the meathead over. We called the meathead over. To you, right?
Shaka, why do keepers always take a sip of water after conceding a goal?
That's just thirsty work. Thirsty work, being a goalie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It seems your go-to, isn't it?
Hey, you have to do something. We can't just lie there crying. I've tried that.
Yeah, the reason you didn't save the goal was because you were dehydrated.
Correct.
Yep. Do the boys miss players wearing their kits baggy, just like Shaka did back in the day? You had an extra baggy, didn't you?
Yeah. I was a trendsetter, Dan.
Oh, look, there it is.
There you go. There you go.
Look at that.
I was setting trends.
It's pretty much a dress.
I was setting trends. That's what I was doing.
Why, Shaq?
It's a blanket. I'll tell you what it is. It's a Snuggie. A Snuggie blanket is what he's wearing.
Why?
I've got that shirt and it has socks
yes,
now.
Yes, I know. You showed us to that before.
Yeah, that was good. It's good. Nice right. socks, wasn't
Why
it?
Why did you have it so baggy?
Because I was setting trends down. I'm pretending to
tell you. There must be a reason.
Because I was and continue to be a fashion icon, and I was pushing the bounds of footballing fashion. That's what I was doing.
It makes your head look so small.
Maybe because I didn't want to be the meathead charging the ball at the end of the wall.
Stevie, they weren't quite skin tight, were they? The tops that you wore back in the Liverpool days. Shorts were short, though.
I was short, but speaking of goalie jerseys, I actually didn't realise that they were so baggy because the one time I went and go for Sheffield Wednesday, I had to put Kevin Pressman's jersey on and it was so big. I just thought it's because he was a little fat and that was a normal size for a goalkeeper. I didn't realise it was fashion.
I'm just saying, maybe Shaka was carrying an extra pound or
I don't
two,
know.
I'm just saying.
But then I suppose, Ali, that's from experience because you've got big bone naturally.
Yeah.
So how did you feel about the tight shirts?
Dan, I used to be a big bone. Now I'm, it's chiseled now. See, you see, the diet is work. The diet is work.
Where's that photo of Ali going back to Columbus? Remember that? He had
Ali,
a rather
Ali
tight
needed
shirt
to carry
on
a bit.
Columbus.
Ali needed to carry a bit, so every time he hit the deck, he didn't hurt himself.
Oh, that's I see. A little bit carry. Of padding.
Well, you've got to land on something. You're just bones. If you're skinning bone like he is now, then you'll hurt yourself.
You know, I expect better from you, Stevie. Something better. Something more creative than that.
I don't. That's right.
I can still see you hitting the deck every single time you step on the field. I tell you,
and
the washing
winning.
Lady must have hated
and
you.
And winning.
Because your jersey was always filthy. Every time you hit the deck, you got filth on it.
Final question, and it's the question I think most people want to know, Shaq, is would you consider including Slavia Prague in your power rankings if they beat Leicester on Thursday? They're still unbeaten in the league and play some cracking football.
Well, I'll have to... upload the data in my algorithm.
Yes.
And see how what comes out the other end.
Who's top at the moment? I missed Thursday.
Are you going to watch Slavia Prague the same way
who's
that you
top
watch
of your
Leipzig?
Power rankings?
Bayern Munich is top of my power rankings.
And who's second and third?
Manchester City are second.
Right, and third?
And third? Atletico Madrid. Who? Who's that? Wait. Lille are third. I've just heard from Google. Google just called.
Oh, really? Yeah. The algorithm called. Lille,
yes.
How many Lille players could you name, Shaka? That's it. Thank you very much.
I'm off to- to go watch Leipzig. I'm going to go watch Leipzig again just to make sure.
Well, enjoy your candlelit dinner, Ali, Stevie, including.
Thank you.
Enjoy digging your dinner out of the trash can.
Yeah, shepherd's pie.
Shaka's off to some graveyards to get some flowers.
Hey, Sunday night flowers, always open.
ESPN FC will be back on your screens tomorrow. Be sure to join us. Chelsea in action against Newcastle. Plus, of course, we'll be looking ahead to the Champions League.